Hey, thanks a lot for listening to this program, Chris Fabry Live. Want to let you know that in the program, you're going to hear music that we've had to edit out for copyright reasons and restrictions. We cannot play those songs for you, so thank you for understanding. Welcome to the Radio Backyard Fence. Today on Chris Fabry Live, we're going back to a conversation we had last summer. He had a dream, moved to Nashville, sang country music. God had another plan. He had an addiction. It had him in a prison, locked up tight. God gave him the key to freedom. He says he didn't find God. God found him. And so today at the Radio Backyard Fence, you're going to hear the story and the music of a man named Ben Fuller. If you haven't heard this conversation, oh, it's going to be a little encouraging for you today, especially if there's somebody in your life who's going down a road you know is a dead end. Hope you'll stay with us today. You're going to hear some dated information. I talk about an upcoming concert, yeah, that kind of thing from last summer. Disregard that, or a phone number and anything like that. But enjoy the conversation we have for you straight ahead at the back fence. Thanks to those behind the scenes. Ryan McConaughey is our engineer doing all things technical. Trish is our producer. And thank you for making these conversations possible. Backfence partners provide more now than half of our monthly support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There are some people who give a $5 gift a month or a $10 gift each month. Some give $30 a month or more, and if you do that, you get 50% off anything from Moody Publishers. It's a great way to support us. Thank you for your generosity. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, and you can find out how you can be a Backfence partner or friend with us right there, chrisfabrylive.org, or call us at 866-953-2279. And you'll see how you can support us that way. 866-95-FABRY. This conversation happened in June of 2023. We're re-airing it today, and I want you to hear Ben Fuller's story. Here's a song that shares the painful, beautiful truth about his life. It's titled, He Found Me. Singer-songwriter Ben Fuller grew up in Vermont, moved to Nashville, and he sings different songs than he thought he was going to. His debut album released last September, Who I Am. We have a link to his website at chrisfabrylive.org. Ben, welcome to the program. How you doing today?
Praise God. Chris, sometimes I forget how powerful the music is. And that song just really reminded me of where I've come from. And so thank you for choosing that song. Thank you for playing that song. It just hit me sitting here.
That was my first question. When you hear that or when you sing it, what goes on the inside? So does it take you back to what you went through?
It almost, I think more so, shows me where I am now. And instead of really dwelling on the past and, you know, those few opening lines, you know, the amount of struggles that I've had with addiction and all the rest, it just, I think that song is just like anthemic in the fact that, you know, the Lord has brought me out of all that stuff. It's like, here I am, you know, yeah, it's because yeah. because he found me, because I accepted this beautiful offer that he proposed.
So. You know what I heard as I was listening to that? Because I used to do very early on when I was a kid, I was doing country radio and playing all of these, you know, in the 70s, all of these songs. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot of forgiveness in country music. You know, there's not a whole lot of turning the other cheek. There's a lot of fighting and drinking and there's, you know, all of this stuff. But I remember Johnny Paycheck, there's just this anger and this defiance about the man, you know, take this job yeah. and, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And in that song that we just played, I heard the same power in, mm-hmm. you know, that you know, they sing in country music, but there was a different turn. There's a different tone in it. There is mercy and grace and forgiveness and praise.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the coolest part about the fact that, you know, I grew up on all that, that country music. And so, I think the coolest thing is just like realizing that I had to sing for him, and that now I can still keep all those pieces and parts of the country music that I grew up on and that I love, but it just, I have to sing for Jesus.
That's Ben Fuller on today's edition of Chris Fabry Live. Don't call us. Our program is recorded. This is from the summer of 2023 when we first met Ben. I first got to hear some of his music. Maybe you're hearing it for the very first time today. Don't miss our next segment because there's real transformation that is coming up. You'll hear more right here on Chris Fabry Live and Moody Radio. Talking with singer-songwriter Ben Fuller today at The Back Fence. His debut album, Who I Am, released a few months ago. You can find out more about him, where he's going to be touring. He was with the Casting Crowns tour recently, as well as Zach Williams. And I want you to take us back to the farm. You told me before we went on the air that it was a dairy farm. There were 175 Holsteins that you were working with your dad. What did you learn on the farm that still you hang on to?
Hard work. I really think that, you know, being the only son, you know, my dad relied a lot upon me to pick up the other end of the hay bales, you know? And so I worked a lot. And I think that hard work really stuck with me throughout the years, and was the driving force really behind, and still is behind this career, because it is a lot of work. And but honestly, I look at it in some respects as, boy, that I'll get into a hard situation, and I go, well, I've been in harder, you know, I've been in manure up to my knees before, you know. And so I'm kind of like, well, this is tough, but I've been in tougher.
Yes. And part of that tough was 14 and a half years. Is that how long you're hooked one level or another?
Yeah. Yeah. I started when I was about 18, and, I got introduced to cocaine and alcohol, and, just two just very dangerous drugs that, allowed me to become numb and allowed me to just, escape. To be honest, escape the tough relationship that I had with my father. And, you know, I could use that to sort of not face problems and my life. And I would just disappear.
Were you still working on the farm in the middle of all that?
Yeah. So I left the farm and went to college in 2005. I graduated high school, and I went to college for landscape design and ornamental horticulture. And so I fell in love with trees and shrubs and stonework. And so I was a stonemason along with all that too, and just enjoyed being outside and working with my hands. So I left the farm at that age, but yeah, it just became a thing. I was functioning, Chris, you know, and it was like I could work 60-hour weeks on a landscape crew, and then I could go home every night and drink myself to sleep, and that's what I did.
So in 2015, you decided, you know, so if you graduated in 2005, fast mm-hmm. forward 10 years. And you're in the middle of this downward spiral. And I've heard that we talked about this yesterday. I've heard people say, I had to hit bottom in order to really see. Did that happen for you?
Yeah. I mean, there were several times that I knew that I was very close to overdosing, that I would just use too much, and, you know, I felt it coming. And I remember in some of those moments, earnestly praying, God, save me, don't let me die. And I think the thing about that for me is Vermont, where I grew up, is 2% Christian, and I never went to church but for funerals and weddings. And so this, you know, I didn't know who God was. I didn't know Jesus was simply just a swear word in my mouth. And so I didn't know, but I know in those moments I was calling out, desperately calling out for help.
So you didn't know what you didn't know, but you still were calling out. There was a friend that you lost in 2017. That was one of the low points, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan and I, you know, were best friends for 10 years, and he, you know, he struggled with the same kind of things that I did with my father, and our dads are tough guys. And they were raised by tough men as well. And I don't blame either of them for the way that they treated us, because that's just what they knew. That's how they were raised. They knew hard work and they knew discipline. And they didn't know emotion and feelings and saying, I love you, and really, really, truly, you know, listening and meaning it. And so I, after losing Ryan, to heroin, you know, I really struggled a lot with the fact that, I should put these drugs down and I should stop drinking. But that still didn't, it wasn't enough.
Let me fast forward, because I watched a video yesterday of you and Zach Williams. And Zach has a similar story and background to yours. So I'd love to be a fly on the wall as you guys just sit down and talk about life. But he has you sing the second verse of this song. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So I can't really. This is fast forwarding to accepting Christ. And I got a phone call from Zach. And I thought it was a joke. Like, I honestly thought it was a kind of a hoax, but it wasn't. And the record label had nothing to do with it, and nobody had anything to do with it besides God. And he said, I've got some lyrics that I've written down, and I'd like to write a song with you. And so we wrote a song, and I just really fell in love with Zach and his heart and his story. And it wasn't long after, I think maybe three weeks past that, he said, hey, do you want to go on tour with me this fall? And I said, what? You know, I said, let me check with my yes. And so I was direct support for Zach Williams, you know, as this first year Christian artist. And it's like, I'm praising God with my whole heart, you know, every day. And I'm just like, you're kidding me. This is amazing. More than I could ask or imagine, right? I mean, the Bible talks about that. And so he came to me with this song and he said, hey, I've got this song that I wrote with Walker Hayes, the country artist Walker Hayes, and it's called Jesus's Fault. And he said, what do you think about it? And so I heard it, and you know, I told my old man that I loved him today. And he said it back before he drove away. And the lyrics just smacked me in the face because of the struggle that I've had with my father. And I think what Zach didn't know is every time I get off the phone with my dad, I say, I love you. And he doesn't say it back. And it really... We were singing the song. I think it was the third city of his tour. And I got a text from my dad that said, I love you. And it just wrecked me, because that's just not something that my dad says, you know?
Well, there's a picture on your website of your dad your mom on Easter sent a picture of your dad with his hands raised, you know, happy Easter or something like that. I mean, it sounds like there's been a change in him too.
Yeah. They went to church on Easter Sunday. And so it's amazing how we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, addiction and the struggles of people that are in addiction and wanting people to change and to come out of that. And what I found is, you know, my dad never struggled with any addiction like that or anything. But what I, even praying for somebody's salvation, it's so hard because you want the change to happen. And you're like, please, you know, just, and you can try everything in your power to stop that person from using drugs or stop that person to put the bottle down, but you can't. And what I've found is, like with my dad, just fixing my eyes on Christ, my eyes on Jesus, I'm walking my faith out. And by doing that, my dad has been watching, and my friends have been watching, and my mom's been watching, my sister, everybody's been watching me, and they're like, what are you doing? And they're just seeing the success, and they're seeing the love, and they're seeing the light and the joy. And they're like, well, maybe there's something to this. But not once am I throwing the Bible in their face or begging them to give their life to Christ. And I don't need to do that. Yeah. And I think I have so much peace about it that I'm just going to walk out my own faith.
Well, they're seeing freedom, and they're intuiting abundant life. You know, Jesus said, I came to give life and give it abundantly. And you didn't have that before, you know, and the drugs and the alcohol numb the pain. And let's be honest, gives you the feeling for a while and until it doesn't. Right.
That's right. Yeah. Because it's never enough. And that's just what it is. And this is perfect setup because this goes right into my favorite scripture. And it's John 6. And Jesus is, I think it's verse 66. And Jesus is talking about all the people that have gone astray and all the people that have taken different paths and different roads and different trails. And he looks at his 12 disciples and he says, are you guys going to go too? And Peter is my favorite because I resonate with Peter so much because of how much I've denied Christ. And Peter looks up at Jesus and he says, my Lord, to whom else shall we go? And I've run out of places and things to go. There's just, and I think that's the beauty about what this Christ, this joy, this gospel, this God that I found is that I've tried everything and it all runs out. And like my dad's favorite thing to tell me is he used to tell me this because he saw how much I was drinking. And I don't think he quite ever knew the problem that I had with it. But he always said to me, and I'll never forget, he always said to me, Budweiser's going to keep making beer. And that's it. And there's so much truth in that. Is like that stuff is it's just never going to be enough. They're always going to make more. It's always going to be, and it will never satisfy. And so that scripture has become my favorite. Yeah. To whom else shall we go?
Back up then. So you decide to go to Nashville partly because of the music. You learned guitar in college, I think I read.
Yeah.
So you're singing since you were a kid and you're singing to the cows. And so you just think, well, why not have them pay me for this?
That's right.
So you moved to Nashville, but not just for the music thing. My guess is you want a fresh start. You want to start over again. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got here in 2018. And, you know, moved down for country music. And so I said, you know, and I think the funny thing is I kind of moved down here in spite of so many people because I've always been home. I've always been in Vermont. I've always been such a home body. We never really had time for vacations. And so I never really traveled. And so I was terrified, you know, to come down here. And then to get here and to see every star from every single hometown, I was like, I was just like, I almost ran home with my tail. I think, you know, who else did? I think Garth Brooks did. Garth Brooks moved to town. I think he said I watched the documentary. He was so scared. He left. He went back. He went, I think, Oklahoma. He went back home. And for a little bit. And it's like, I had that same feeling. I was just like, I can't compete with these people down here. There's way better music, way better singers, way better. So honestly, it was terrifying. I was terrified for quite a while. Yeah.
Somebody invited you to go with them on a Sunday though. Tell me that.
Yeah. So I sang, I got a job at working at Tootsie's and the famous honky tonk. And I remember for the first time I sent a picture to my dad, you know, and he had said how proud he was of me. And it was like the first time of really feeling like this affirmation of my dad is really proud of me for what I've done. And I got so tired in a very short amount of time, directly, not long after that, of like, what am I doing? And so I was drinking and driving, you know, home from Broadway every day, and 26 minutes to Cool Springs, and just south of town. And God had moved a family from Vermont all the way down here to Franklin, Tennessee, and a year and a half before I got here. And they called me up. I was on my way home. It was the fall of 2019. And they called me up and they said, "Hey, Ben, do you want to come over for dinner?" And I said, "Sure. I mean, only a fool turns down a free meal, you know?" And so I said, "Sure, why not?" And so I went over for this meal. And they have a beautiful house and a beautiful family. And the kids were running around. And I remember at the end of the meal, they asked me if I would go to church with them the next morning. It was a Saturday night. And I was raised like, somebody does something nice for you, you do something nice back, you know, and it's sort of like this, I'll pay you back kind of thing. And so I said, yes, you know, I owe them for this meal that they've given me. And so I went to Church of the City that following morning in the fall of 2019. And I just remember hearing the music, and I remember how I felt in that moment. And it rocked me, but it was the kind of music that goes into your chest and doesn't come out. And it just literally filled me up in every way possible. And I tell people that if they would have caught a photo of me standing in the aisle of that auditorium, 2,000 people, you know, I'd never heard the gospel before. I have no idea, but God used the music to draw me in. And I tell people, if they saw me stand in that aisleway in that moment, John Reddick and Chris McClarney were leading worship, that my feet would have been off the ground. There's no doubt about it. And I think in that moment, Chris, I felt higher than I've ever been. And I think what I couldn't get I couldn't wrap my mind around is that it was free. And I didn't have to spend any money, and I didn't have to do a dirty deal, and I didn't have to drive drunk, and I didn't have to feel guilty or ashamed afterwards, waking up the next morning wondering why.
That was the moment then that things changed for you, and that's where the music comes from now. And in our next segment, I want you to hear his song, "Who I Am," that really describes a little bit more of this journey that Ben Fuller has been on. If you want to find out more about him, go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. More with Ben straight ahead on Moody Radio. This is Chris Fabry Live on Moody Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Our program is recorded. Don't call us today. Hope you're enjoying Ben Fuller's story. We'll get right back to it. First, a note of thanks to the people at CareNet for their 365-day-a-year pro-abundant life ministry. They care about unborn babies, absolutely. They care about babies after they're born. They care about the women who are going through an unplanned pregnancy, and the men who sometimes are pushing another person toward abortion. There's some encouragement that you need to get. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet button, because they are offering a 40-day devotional that's absolutely free. It's titled "A Lifeline of Hope." Click the green CareNet button, download that free Lifeline of Hope devotional today. Go to chrisfabrylive.org and click the green CareNet button. So they invited Ben Fuller to dinner. They invited him to church. He heard the gospel. Ben, what happened to the addiction?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I attended several types of meetings and stuff prior to all of this. And I think the one common thing that I found was, even at different locations and different organizations, is that I kept swirling around my addiction. I kept swirling around all the things that I had done wrong, and sort of identified with me as an addict, and identified as with the drugs and with the alcohol. the change that happened at Church of the City in Franklin for me was I identified with Christ for the first time. And I identified as a child of the Most High God, and I identified with Jesus. And within 2 months, I mean, I was drinking 15 to 19 beers a night, whatever, you know, and I was just drinking myself to sleep. And over the next 2 months, after experiencing the Holy Spirit and experiencing the gospel and saying, God, help me, and not saying it with my mouth, but saying it with my heart, my beers went from 19 to 12 to 10 to 8 to 2 to I don't even like the taste of alcohol anymore, to the swearing left my mouth, to you know, relationships running around, promiscuous, everything stopped. And I felt this conviction inside is I can't be doing this anymore. And Christ had been awakened in me. And it took me a minute to kind of realize all these things. And to be honest with you, I kind of felt like Jim Carrey in Liar, Liar. And as I, yes. You know, I'm kind of like, the pen is blue and I'm trying to draw on my face. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm melting inside and I'm turning into this brand new man. And I realized that change in me happened because I identified with Christ for the first time. And, yes. and the name of Jesus no longer was just a swear word in my mouth.
So what Ben Fuller has just described is the antithesis of what most people feel like Christianity really is. They think Christianity is rules. You got to go to church. You got to do this. You got to dress this way. You can't do that. You can't do that. A list of rules and regulations, but that's not it. It's transformation. That's what God wants to give you and me, to transform us from the inside out to the likeness of His Son. And that's what Who I Am is all about. You were made for more. I think that's one of the things that just stuck with me as I listened again right there, Ben. And the other thing is, He left no stone unturned because, I'm adding this, He rolled the stone away. You know, yeah. He was powerful. His love was powerful enough to roll the stone away. And that resurrection power is what can now infuses you in everything that you do, right?
Yeah. Amen. You gave up everything for me to have everything. And I think that's my favorite part of that song, Who I Am, is that He gave up everything for me. And when I realized it, and when I realized what He's done for me, nobody's ever done anything like that for me before. And I don't think anybody, and maybe nobody ever will. It really hit me. And I realized it for real, you know, and I think that's what when I accepted Him and said, okay, Jesus, I believe you, I believe in you. And, you know, knock and the door shall be opened, and asking you shall receive, all these things will be added unto you. And I've seen it. I'm watching it happen real time, and it still continues to blow my mind.
But there are people who will say, and maybe an addiction, or it may just be something in their life that they can't get rid of, and they'll think, well, I'm going to turn my life over to God, but I need to clean myself up before I do that. What do you say to that person?
I'm here to say I'm living proof that that's not the case, and that's not what happened to me, and that He met me exactly where I am, exactly where I was, lying on the floor, ready to overdose, thinking I was going to die. I had just flushed the drugs down the toilet. I promised I'd never have any more alcohol. I swore up and down I'd never do it again, and all these things. And guess what? I did it again. And I did it again, and I did it again. And His love and His kindness and His mercy and His grace were poured upon me. And it is every single day. And I think that the thing that I want everybody else to know also is that I'm so far from perfect. And I think that being vulnerable and being raw and being real, the fact that I still struggle, the fact that I get depressed, the fact that the devil came for my life before the Casting Crowns tour started. Just about 12 weeks ago, he came for my life again and tried to tell me that my songs don't mean anything and that I'm not a good writer and that my voice isn't even that good. And he got me on my knees and he almost had me. And I realized that the written word of God is the only thing that can make the devil flee. And so I'm guilty of not getting in my Bible enough. And so I've just been, you know, again, I'm so far from perfect. And I think that I know that he'll meet you exactly where you're at.
Yes. Because the dirty little secret that the enemy doesn't want you to know is that God's love and forgiveness is available right now. And that transformation, I can hear it in your voice. There's a difference in the Ben Fuller I'm talking to today and the Ben Fuller, you know, from 10 years ago. Yeah. There's a radical difference. And the only way that you can describe that is the work of God in his life. So one final segment to go. I want you to hear one more song because I think this will speak to you or give you encouragement if there's somebody in your life that you're thinking about, oh, I wish they could hear Ben. I want you to hear his song, Chasing Rebels, straight ahead on Moody Radio. I hope you hear the hope coming through the radio today, and that's brought to you by friends and partners. We can't be here without those who get behind us, so thanks a lot for your support. Just go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, and you can see how you can support us. If you haven't reached out in a while, do that today. So Ben Fuller, we just played Who I Am. You write your own songs. You write with other people. I saw an interview with you talking about writer's rounds. Describe what it's like to write songs alone or write them with other people.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing about what has happened, especially just in my life with songwriting, is when I signed the record deal and the Christian side of Sony comes along and they just say, we want to help you. They put me in the room with so many incredibly talented, gifted, godly people. And so I just started honestly telling my story and pouring my heart out. And it's super cool because everybody's gifts are just a tad bit different. And it was really awesome to be able to honestly go in the room with just, hey, this is heavy on my heart today. Or this is kind of what I was feeling on the way in or last night. I think the most important part is every songwrite that I was a part of, somebody would pray and we would just ask God for the words, you know, Lord, what would you like to say? And how can we best steward this gift and these gifts that you've given us? And so I just honestly, and everybody's so different. It was so cool to hear the songs that came out of the rooms. And I wrote 117 songs in 7 months. when I signed, I think it was 2020, between 2021 and 2022. So there's still a lot of songs to be heard, Chris.
I love it. I'm glad. When is your next album? Are you working on that now?
Yeah. So we've got like a deluxe, edition, like an additional 5 songs that are going to be, coming out this fall. And I'm really, really excited. It'll be an addition to the Who I Am album. And I can't wait for people to hear some of the stuff that we've been working on. And we've been playing some of these songs live. So some of the people have been like, hey, when's that song coming out? this fall, all of them will be out. So I'm excited, really excited for that.
I really wanted, I don't know who's going to be touched by this, but I really believe there's somebody that needs to hear Chasing Rebels today. I want you to listen to this song from Ben Fuller. I wanted to play that song today because maybe there's somebody who's listening and your present is Ben's past. And this program, this conversation, and the music that you've heard is evidence of that unrelenting Savior. You've got a messy canvas of your life that it can be turned into a messy canvas of God's mercy. Ben, what do you say to the person who says, yeah, that's me?
Well, I was just reading this again, Psalm 63. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. The name of Jesus was a swear word in my mouth, and I had no idea who he was. And if somebody would have asked me if I was going to be praising God, if I was going to be singing about Jesus Christ for the rest of my life, I would have laughed at them 4 years ago. And so I know that he's done great work inside me. And I believe that for anybody who's listening right now, I know that he can do anything because he's did everything. He's done everything for me.
I am so glad that we got to have this time together here on the program. And let me just say, if that's where you are and you say, okay, well, what do I do? Text the word gospel to 800-600-9624, and we'll send you a link where you can see exactly the steps to take to surrender your life to God, to receive his mercy, to receive that resurrection power in your own life. Text the word gospel to 800-600-9624. And thank you, Ben, for being honest and open. And I ask our listeners, you know, as you're touring and you're singing and all that, and the temptations that are out there, or the enemy that's whispering in your ear, to pray for real power, resurrection power in your own life to continue. And you hang in there and you keep writing those songs and come back real soon, okay?
Amen. Thank you.
Ben Fuller, our guest today. If you want to find out more about him, we have a link at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Who I Am came out in September. There's a new edition of that coming out in the fall. We'll tell you more about that when it happens. Hope this has been an encouragement. If you're praying for a Ben in your own life, don't you dare stop. You hang in there. You keep praying. Chris Fabry Live's a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.